Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody, my name's Sue Supriano, and my guests today are Lou Montgomery and Barbara Kenyon, and we're going to be talking about South Africa and AIDS. And Lou Montgomery is American from the United States. Barbara Kenyon is from South Africa, and we're going to be hearing from both of them. So I want to start out by welcoming you both and asking Lou, who it's you who I met first, and I know you've been to South Africa four times. Now you live in Berkeley, and you're a psychologist and an actress, and you've been doing lots of fundraising and putting out the word here in the Bay Area, and I don't know where else. But and you've also made a video about what's going on in South Africa with AIDS and particularly children. So I'd like you just to talk a little bit about how you you got into that and something about what the situation is there. You have it so well outlined in the video, which is a very moving video.
Thanks, Sue. Yeah, I'm producing a week-long event called Spirit Cross the Waters, a benefit for AIDS care in South Africa. And it is to benefit organizations that are in Mpumalanga province, which is in the eastern part of South Africa. It's a rural province and one that's been one of the most hardest hit by the HIV AIDS pandemic, and where the infection rate is estimated at up to 40%. 48 maybe, the statistics vary. They estimate that 1,800 people are being infected every day. And one of the things that's been most riveting for me is the way that it is affecting women and children. There are so many orphans. There are 500,000 this year alone in South Africa, and one of our funding recipients is a HIV-positive home, taking care of kids. And the other one is an astronomical amount of children being raped. And Barbara's going to tell you more about that phenomenon. But that's what I got caught up with, was the fate of these children who, when raped, or have almost certain HIV exposure, and with no antiretroviral treatment provided by the government, it seemed like it sort of fell to concerned global citizens to step up to the plate and come to the party and do something about the situation. So that's what Spirit Cross the Waters is dedicated to. That's a marvelous, as you know in the interview we did before, incredible Bay Area musicians and performers, and that's where it's all going. And I think focus should be on Barbara now, who will tell you about GRIP. She traveled here for the benefit, but she's doing a lot of networking, raising awareness, and it's a plea for help at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one other thing. I mean, these statistics are just so incredibly alarming. And there was one in the video about every second or something somebody becomes HIV positive or something. Well, I don't know if it was that.
I think the statistic is every 20 seconds a woman or child is raped. And the other statistic that you may have recalled from the video is that 9 out of every 10 infections that occur worldwide each minute are in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So both of those statistics are pretty horrific. It's hard to wrap one's consciousness around such. The numbers don't compute to anything that can really be hardly managed psychically, and yet we have to respond somehow.
Well, I know that you've got to go, Lou, and we are lucky to have Barbara Kenyon here, who is the CEO of Rape Intervention Program in South Africa. And you were telling me, Barbara, that you're a housewife and that you had no plans to get involved or create this big project. So tell me a little bit more about your background. You say you live in a community. You've lived in a small community is where the project is, the Rape Intervention Program.
I live in a town called Nelspruit. It's on the border of Mozambique. It is a rural farming town, and the income of most people living there is very low, which creates its own social problems, which makes the increase of rape that much more, which we have to deal with.
Well, since we're referring to rape here, I think that we haven't really explained, although I've heard about it on the video and in your talk, what is this rape particularly about? I mean, it's not just... Of course, rape is always a terrible thing.
Sue, I'm giving you a statistic before I started, which kind of prompted me to do something about this. They ran a study in our area last year. Of 800 women and children that they surveyed, 374 reported being raped. Of that, 272 actually reported to the police. Of that number, 17 got to court. And of that number, there was only one conviction. Now, something is dreadfully wrong there. And that's what prompted me to start. Once I started the care room, which was, I had very small vision then, the more I learned, the more I knew had to be done. You couldn't counsel. I started counseling, and we were just doing that. And I had 9 children, one after the other, ranging from 5 to 8 years old. And I couldn't look them in the face and pat them on their back and say, everything's going to be all right, when for certain they've been exposed to HIV. We have a myth at present which is very strongly entrenched in our community. Even tertiary educated men believe this, that you can pass your virus on if you rape a virgin. Now, it's not only girl childs being subjected to this. Of 7 girls being raped, 4 boys are raped. So it's not even a gender thing. Last year when we started the antiretroviral site, it was mainly women over 18 being raped. This year, it's just shot up to 50 children a month now who are being raped. And our mean age for children now are between the ages of 5 and 8 years old. And you can't turn your back on them. They didn't deserve to be raped. They've been through the most traumatic emotional experience, and then to suffer the most painful death of HIV, that's inhuman and immoral.
It sure is a nightmare, all right. Mm. So that's almost half of the females being raped, basically, from the thing you said in the beginning there.
One in two women will be raped in their lifetime. Mm.
And you live in a small community, so I imagine this is the case all over South Africa and all over Southern Africa, or just South Africa?
It's over Southern Africa, not specific, and I don't think our town is any worse than another town. Mm-hmm. They're all equally bad. It's breaking my heart to think of that. There are so many children in every hospital now who are dying of HIV, not because they were born with it, but because they were raped, and that is such a tragedy. And it's just something that's very, very hard for me to deal with, and it keeps me going, because every child that we can help is a life changed forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so huge. It must be kind of frustrating. But, I mean, we have so many huge problems in the world right now, and this is certainly one of them, and it's what can we do but deal with the ones that are right in our face, in a way? So you have a booklet here with a description of the project and some figures and various things. Mm-hmm. So would you like to talk about that program now, the program that you do? I want to say also that you're of European descent. You're a white South African. Have your family been there many years?
I'm second generation South African, but I am a South African.
And in the video, of course, the huge majority of people in South Africa are African, of African descent, are black. And in the video that Lou Montgomery made, it seemed that all the children were black. And all, are there white kids that this is happening to too, or and white people, or is this? Would you address that?
There are white people and white children being raped, but by far they are black South Africans. The social circumstance is such, because we're very rural and very poor, a rural poor child has got more chance of being raped than my child, say. Mm. So the statistics are loaded towards the very poor rural women and children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because of all the many, many, many years of apartheid and racism, and which is not only in South Africa, but of course poor is means black, and white means better off, generally speaking.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. You know, once we started off with working in the hospitals, we couldn't just also say, okay, you know, it was a process to start the antiretroviral. It was a process to be able to find funds for that, but you couldn't give the antiretroviral. And our service doesn't just encompass the antiretroviral. We give care packs, teddy bears to the children, lots of information, clean clothes. Sometimes it's the first time those children have ever had a toothpaste or toothbrush or a panty of their own. So there's a lot of other help we give, other kind of caring. We help their practical issues in the hospitals. But you can't stop there. You need to go further. So we do the follow-up after a month, see if they've taken the medicine, how badly it affected it, did they follow it through. And of more than 126 children and women we've helped, only 3 never complied. So even though they've never heard of HIV or heard of the medicine prior to being raped, they do know the seriousness of it and stick it out. Mm-hmm. We also do follow-up HIV tests after 3 months and 6 months of every survivor, whether they got the medicine or not, for court reasons. We follow up on the police investigations to make sure, you know, we nudge the police to keep going on the cases so that they don't get lost in the system, because my previous statistic that I told you of 272 reported, 17 got to court. That needs to be addressed as well. We're struggling with that a little bit. We're very under-resourced. I would love to be able to do more there, but we are coping. The police work very well with us.
Mm. And it must be really important. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I want you to go on. But it must be very important to dispel this myth that rape is going to make people better, get rid of HIV and AIDS.
It's very hard for me. We're trying through the tribal chiefs to speak to the people at the public meetings to tell the people that this does not get rid of your HIV status, but it's going to be a very slow process. And I know there's a lot more work needed to be done there, but I haven't been able to get to that yet.
You can't do everything. You're not superhuman. Hard as you try, Lou.
I think it would be important to hear from Barbara also just about the political climate that's affecting in the region, the denial at the highest level of government and the harassment she's getting from the health ministry, even though she's, as she mentioned, social services and the Justice Department, the police are being supportive. The health ministry is not only adversarial, but directly hostile. And maybe she could speak a little. That's why our intervention is so important, because we can't wait for the government and the health ministry. They are not only not responding, they are actively sabotaging GRIP's efforts. So maybe you could tell us a little more about that. I think it's so important people understand the climate in this part of South Africa. The Western Cape is doing something, but that's just one province out of the whole country. Each province has its own approach to HIV/AIDS. There's no consistent governmental policy. That's part of the problem. So I think it's important people, our listeners, understand that aspect.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, Lou Montgomery. Barbara Kenyon.
Yes, that is so, because we do the pre-court training as well for children, because they're rural and they come in from outside areas and they're not used to that. And we have assistance, a person daily in the court who helps them. So it's a holistic approach, and we have wonderful support from all the government departments except the health department. Now, the head of the health department has got a court case against us. It's a second court case. Last year, she evicted us from all our care rooms. We have 6. we were able to institute legal proceedings and legally be allowed back into the hospitals. Since then, she's tried other ways by sabotaging the doctors, firing doctors, forbidding them to write out prescriptions for the antiretrovirals, forbidding mothers to bring antiretrovirals to the hospitals for children who are hospitalized to administer to them. And this is so beyond people's human rights and dignity. And that is what we are facing. She legally cannot get... what we're doing is legally correct and moral. But because the leaders of our country do not believe in the HIV drug, whether it's for PEP or treatment, we're being sabotaged. We're the only NGO that's doing this in South Africa, and therefore we're having to we write up in the front. But if they manage to, if we cannot manage to sustain the medical expenses, which the government should be addressing because they can get the medicine free of charge, we pay for it at the full price. But if we have to close our doors in February because of the high outlay we have for the medicines, it's going to set South African women and children back much worse than even if we started, because the government would be able to point a finger at us and say, see, you cannot sustain it, don't expect us to. And yet they should. Prevention is so much cheaper than dealing with a child dying of HIV.
Yeah, that's for sure. So is she taking her orders from the main federal government, whatever you call it, in South Africa?
She's taking her orders from the premier, yes. Yeah. Yes, but the thing is, there is no policy. It's his opinion, so that's why there's such a legal wrangle. And she cannot legitimately evict us, but she's harassing the doctors and the nurses who work with us. So far, they've been wonderful and have stood up and said, "You cannot stop me doing what my oath says I must do." Mm-hmm. But there's some hospitals where the doctors are scared, and we have to ask a private doctor to dispense the medicine. And he's only open weekdays, so a lot of children and women do fall through the cracks that way.
So I know there's been such controversy about the medicine, antiviral, is that what you call it, in South Africa. And so maybe... I've already said this, but would you explain where that's at? You have to buy it privately, or how is that going now?
We do. We a pharmacy near us. They provide us the antiretroviral treatment without their cost, but we have to pay the full cost of what the drug companies charge the pharmacy, which I also think is a bit unfair. We are not getting any support from the drug companies, and so we're. We're kind of left out there a bit alone. Another thing that has started is that mother-to-child prevention, the vertical transmission, because we're dealing with a PEP for rape survivors, the nurses in the hospitals are phoning us and saying, please, I've got a pregnant woman. She's going to labor. She wants the nevirapine. She cannot afford it. Will you supply it? So we're paying for that, even though the drug company Boehringer Ingelheim have given it to the government free of charge for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they have it there, but they're not giving it.
Oh, I was wondering what these drug companies were, because I know we had a demonstration here actually in Berkeley about the drug company trying to stop generic antiviral drugs from going to South Africa. So I know that that's been a political issue. So these are private drug companies, and could you say a little bit more about that?
Okay, with a vertical transmission, mother-to-child transmission, Boehringer Ingelheim, who manufactures nevirapine, have given the government...
Is that an American firm or where?
It's
where?
An American international company. Have given the South African government nevirapine free for 5 years for every state hospital. The government are dragging their heels and saying, oh no, they've got to do a pilot site for 2 years. There are two hospitals in each province that have been... elected to be the pilot site, even though it's been proven for many years that this does work. But South Africa's saying, okay, only two hospitals can have it. The other hospitals cannot, even though the drug company have given them the medicine free. Huh. So I'm ending up paying for something that's available in the hospital free of charge.
Yeah. Are there other drugs, too, that you need, or is that that particular one? And what do you give to the children? Is that the same story or different story with drug companies and the government?
The drugs that we use are the non-nucleoside reverse transcriptase, which is a very long word. But the mother-to-child transmission, that drug we don't use for PEP, for rape survivors.
What's PEP? I'm sorry.
PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis. So it's post-exposure, which is you've been exposed through rape, prophylaxis, or is prevention. The government does give it for gonorrhea, syphilis, pregnancy. They should also do HIV. It's just the morally right thing for a government to do. Most governments do that for survivors of rape. And in our country, where in our province, 48% of our population are living with HIV, it is imperative for the children who are, you know, physically damaged by rape, they will get HIV.
Physically and mentally, I'm sure.
It's broken my heart. I've known 12 children just in my particular little area. That's excluding the greater Nelspruit area. I've nursed 12 little boys and girls who died because they were raped, and it'll live and haunt me forever. That's why I'm driven to prevent other children from suffering like that.
Yeah, well, Barbara Kenyon, you've really got a big job, and it's really incredible that you're doing this. Do you have children, too?
I have two small children, and that's probably what started me off. I have a little boy and a little girl of 2 and 4, and it's been my greatest fear of being raped in our country's atmosphere, and for my daughter to suffer that. And that's why I said, well, if I'm a mother, I know how much I love my children. Mm-hmm. I would love to help other mothers help their children. That's kind of how it started. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea the huge, huge amount of work and opposition from people. And it's not only opposition. I've met wonderful people, and wonderful people have gone, like Lou Montgomery, gone right out of their way to take a stand against rape.
Mm. Yeah. Does a racial thing enter into this at all? Are there like attitudes around that? I mean, and as I say that, I want to say that it's not like so great in the United States, of course, either. So people talk about apartheid in South Africa as if it's not equally bad other places, including here. But since you are from South Africa,
you know, that's why I say our community have astounded me. They have stood behind me. The only way we have kept going is by businessmen in our town who have said, hey, you know, if I phone them up here as a child, or they voluntarily come forward. Afrikaans businessmen have come forward. So it's been a community pulling together, not a racial issue at all. Strangely enough, the black businessmen have not made one contribution, strangely enough, and it's mostly their their race who've been raped. But I've been really pleasantly surprised and found most of my support have come actually from the Afrikaans community. We have such a good opportunity to really make a difference in South Africa, and unfortunately, the government at present is wasting that initiative.
Mm. Well, it's gonna put the population in half, it sounds like, and a lot of people are really traumatized. Well, we don't have too much time left. Do you want to, Barbara Kenyon, talk a little bit more about your program? I'm still looking at this book, and I keep interrupting you when you start talking about it.
You know, it's not often one has the honor to directly save somebody's life, especially a young child's life. And I appeal to everybody who has a heart for helping children. Just the medical costs cost us $77. So if two of you could every month just put $35 into a debit order or something, you could make a significant difference to a little girl or little boy's life. We have a website. The website is www.grip.org.za. You will get a lot of our information on that website, mm-hmm. and from there you'll get all our contact details as well. But I beg you, don't let this chance go aside. If you can see your way clear to make a difference and save a child's life, you know that we will use it wisely.
Is this trip to the United States what you've been doing mostly? Have you been traveling around other places or trying to get support and money? I mean, it looks like, I know you showed me, I don't know where that page is because we have a couple more minutes, for you to talk about the extensiveness of the program.
We have a holistic approach. As I said, it reaches, I would like to go into the education to prevent rape because I'd like to target the boy child of 12 years old. There's a great movement because a lot of the kids are disempowered. They gang up in gangs and they then have power if they can like kick the lesser dog, and that's usually a little girl. So I'd like to prevent that mindset. We have a holistic program that goes from the police. We walk the walk with the survivor right through to the court. Obviously, that all takes expenses, but a lot of us, like myself, are doing it on a voluntary basis. It's a hand-to-mouth existence, but it does make a significant difference.
Mm-hmm. And you, so this is all inside your own particular community.
Yes.
It looked like, I mean, this chart, which I'm not finding, looked like it looks so big. All the many, many things that you do.
Yes, we do this. As I said, it started off small. I never knew what should be done until I started doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know, just we've got a lot of volunteers. We've got a lot of wonderful dedicated staff, both men and women.
Mm-hmm. Are other communities in South Africa taking an interest in your project and using it as a model at all? Or I think you said you're the only one.
We're the only NGO that are dealing with the antiretrovirals. There are other crisis centers who are setting it up like us to do the holistic thing, who would also like to go into the PEP, but they're very nervous.
Into the, now you got to say PEP.
Sorry, the anti-HIV medicine.
Oh,
the
okay.
Prevention of HIV.
Okay.
We very strongly believe that if you can prevent it, it is far better than cure. And the government can afford it. There's no ways that they can say they can't afford it, and we've proved that there is follow-up. So they cannot say you can't do follow-up. Mm-hmm. On a shoestring, we do a follow-up.
And you say people are afraid to institute these kind of programs because they're afraid of the government.
The health department's intervention at the moment, yes. It's not the whole government. Mm-hmm. As I said, we've got a lot of support from other departments. It's just the health department.
Okay, well, we're going to give that webpage one last time and then say goodbye to Barbara Kenyon. The webpage is www.grip.org.za. So grip.org.za. That's for the Rape Intervention Program. And my guest has been Barbara Kenyon, and earlier you heard from Lou Montgomery. And Barbara is from South Africa, where the Greater Rape Intervention Program is occurring that she's been talking about. So thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you very much, Sue.
And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.